First I thought of my poor mother, then of my father, my brothers and all my loved ones. I felt that I would weep greatly and this hurt me greatly. As soon as the process of neuro-spiritual organization and sense formation was completed, I could move, think, hear and recognize the means and method of moving in space. The liberation of the spirit from the gross human organism is something glorious, something great. For the senses and faculties of the human body are nothing other than the senses and faculties of his spirit, condensations. As soon as we have stripped the person, spiritual knowledge, senses and organs, that is, the means of the manifestation of spiritual life, ceased to exist. So I was there, I looked around and saw beings, spirits, of all degrees, similar to me, their degrees can be recognized by their nerve bodies. I saw pure, beautiful light forms, which delighted me immensely, just as when we meet a noble and exalted person on earth. I met my sister here, my sister who died in childhood. She guided, encouraged and spiritually refreshed me. I wanted to come to you immediately, but she would not let me, she said. Later I came and sought a way to express myself to you. Now, with God's help, I succeeded. I think of you all with infinite love and greet you from the bottom of my heart. I am so happy to see that you can bear your pain in a Christian way. This gives me comfort, relief and strength. As for me, I am studying diligently. Oh, how much there is to learn here! I am never idle. The possibilities of intellectual activity and work are endless. I am happy in the knowledge that we are all intimately connected, and that the bond of love is eternal. March 29, 1871. In the name of God, I greet you, my dear parents. My mind is enlightened, I can think better, I move more freely, I recall my past far and glimpse my future tasks, I grow in strength and talents, my whole nature. I am happy and comfortable in my present living conditions. I float and move around, because that is how it must be, just as I did on Earth, because it was impossible to change places otherwise. For the same reasons and conditions under which I thought on Earth with the help of the brain, I think here too, but without a brain. I find the way to the medium with the help of my fluids, which are directed directly to her thinking organs. What I want to say in images, I transfer as an impression into her fluids, brain fibers, and nerves, which slowly penetrate them while her hand moves and writes mechanically. The temporary physical separation from you is difficult for me too, but let us think of the idea of seeing each other again. God will turn everything to the best, I thank him with all my heart, and I ask him to heal the aching heart of my dear mother. My dear comrades, you praise me too much, for courage is a man's innate duty, and a sense of honor is a natural thing, so why talk about it so much? Thousands of peasant boys fall just as bravely as I do, and who writes about them? They praise me very much out of love for me. What is natural to someone is not merit, only self-conviction, struggle, victory over oneself, that is merit. April 22, 1871. My dear parents, it is infinitely good that you have drawn comfort from my words. My spirit overflows with gratitude for your love. When I look back over my earthly life, when I reflect on the care of my good mother, the care of my father, the sacrifices that went into my upbringing and education, it inspires me with the deepest gratitude, because all of this is an eternal, spiritual benefit to me. Your labor and work, my dear parents, have not been in vain. I can already draw spiritual benefit from everything. If it was not destined that you should enjoy the material fruit of all that you sowed, if you, your son, who has now grown into a mature man, cannot rejoice, rejoice in his spirit, whom your love has taught. The last thought of my human brain, the last feeling of my heart, was dedicated to my mother. I wanted to embrace her, as well as my dear father and my dear brothers. My father's faith and steadfastness shone before me and sustained me when material life was transformed into immaterial in painful hours. Especially when death comes so quickly, the spirit must be strong to quickly reinvent itself. Do not grieve now for the body, draw near to the spirit, which surrounds you with blessings. May 26, 1871. You cannot imagine how happy I am that you have entered my spiritual life. The love and infinite goodness of God never separates spirits from men, only men do that. There are many spirits whose education is so low that they do not even know their way to manifest themselves, but those who, after their liberation from the body, come to a better understanding, yes, they see the way of communication and regret the dividing gap that men have drawn between themselves and the spiritual world. How many spirits would like to express themselves, but all their efforts are broken by the hard wall of ignorance and unbelief? The study of spiritual things brings more substantial benefit to the earth than all positive research, because the latter always seeks only changing matter, while the former seeks the permanent, eternal. How gloriously the great Goethe expressed this in short words: Alsvorg Englisch, first nair Anglicnis, das unglaublich, here words ignis, das unbeschreiblich, here ist sketten, das unweiblich, ziet unsinnen. He himself did not understand, he only guessed the greatness that lies in these short words. I cannot thank God enough for the grace inherent in the natural law that binds us together. I can easily express myself in the medium's language, which I must more or less adopt, but I control its flexible fluids. Certain things, the laws of life and motion, which are impossible for men, are natural for spirits. Men live by breathing air, and move by the law of gravity. The same law enables the fly to walk on a sphere, and allows spirits to float in space. Man is so accustomed to his own movement and way of life, to the laws that guide and sustain him, that he forgets his position in the air, the speed of the earth's rotation, lives according to his custom, without considering that if God were to change the laws for even a second, such a commotion would arise that would crush everything. Spirits are therefore by and in motion, and live in conditions that correspond to their being. Just as men on earth differ in their gait, voice, expression, behavior, taste, outlook, and way of thinking, so do spirits differ in everything. I saw some who had fallen with me, remaining in the place of horror, continue to fight and fight, so that the battle of the Huns of Kolbar came to my mind. Indeed, they continued their rage with the troops and heavy clouds of electric spirits who had fought in the battle. They participated, carried away by their passion. Others emerged like clouds of light from the slaughter, from the bloodbath. They rose up of their own accord by the law of their spirituality and purity, as steam rises from water. This too is only water, but spiritualized water, but as such it is the greatest power. So these spirits rise from this crowd, by reason of their purity, more powerfully than those who, like water, had to remain behind. I too felt myself being drawn and carried upwards when my little brother was here. It would be a glorious picture. I will try to describe it to you. Below, on the battlefield covered with corpses, is Adolf, with a gaping wound, blood streaming from his forehead and heart, pale and dead. The weapon is still there in his limp hand, as if he wanted to chase the enemy. Men and horses everywhere groaning and kicking in pain. Above the battlefield is the ether of the air. Here are raging, raging spirits, with long fluidic heads, multi-branched electric crowns, serpentine wings, distorted, emaciated faces, spewing fire and brimstone, veritable furies and demons. There, amidst these terrible beings, is a glorious golden light, a cloud of light, rising from the earth through the electric clouds, scattering the evil spirits like chaff, and ascending straight towards the sky. In this cloud of light you see the guardian spirits of those who suffer below. They wear golden crowns, and their veil-like wings are in the form of long, long clouds. Above my remains I also see such a light figure, whose magnificent long golden hair is to be regarded as a fluidic outflow of the spirit. His face smiles gently, confident in his flight, and carries his prey safely from the terrible battlefield. He carries me on his wings, wrapped in his beneficial fluids, as if lying in a soft bed. I smile at him like a child at rest and point down, to where the great towers of my native city are visible. It is a small picture, like some vision in the misty veil, the dwelling where my parents live, my father sitting at the desk, my mother bowing her head in prayer. They think of me, and both their hearts are filled with anxiety for me. Yes, I pointed there then with an anxious soul, but my angel pointed upwards, to the heights. Look higher, weary spirit, the pure spirits await you. And I see my grandparents, their hands are spread out over you in blessing, a bright ray flows from their envelopes, bringing strength, surrender to your poor hearts. My dears, forgive me that this sketch of mine, which has so powerfully captured my whole being, has drawn tears and touched wounds. My poetically attuned spirit was captivated, the medium's entire being was filled with me and shared in my pain. Indeed, she herself felt my rapture and pain, she wanted to twirl and sob, just like me, because poetry, music, and the power of representation alternated in her bosom, just like in my spirit. I want to understand and express everything at once and, finally, melting into a fervent prayer, I must fall silent, Lord, my God, how great and infinite you are. My trembling spirit is completely filled with your love and grace, you being. For what glory you created me, and I fell into sin and distanced myself from you, disobedient and ungrateful. My Father, you forgive me graciously, for you see the unspeakable pain that I feel for my sins. To be yours, to live for you, what a delight. Remember, Lord, my loved ones, send them your grace and peace. Here the medium's hand stopped exhausted, the writing changed and the grandfather's spirit continued to write calmly. While writing, the medium did sob violently and felt as if he had experienced all this. I, Adolf's grandfather, take over the writing to finish the above words. The medium needs a soothing fluid, and I want to give it to him. The bond that binds spirit and man together is fluid, magnetic and electric. In communication through a medium, three things are important. 1. The influence of the medium on the spirit. 2. The influence of the spirit on the medium. 3. The communication itself. Often the influence or power of the medium is stronger on the spirits, hence the more or less mechanical medium. 154. The spirit expresses itself more or less in the medium's language, with its expressions, in its style, according to the flexibility of its fluids. Spirits need vitality in order to be able to express themselves. It is best if the medium herself does not think at all while writing, but rather mechanically submits herself to the influence of the spirit. Spirits often need a lot of magnetic fluid to suppress the thoughts of the medium in order to make their own effective. There are also spiritual and intellectual obstacles in man, which the revealing spirit must overcome. The manifestation of a foreign spirit in a completely free and uninfluenced way through man is possible only rarely and under complicated circumstances. The right and true spirit must find a right and true man in harmony. This will then be the most beautiful revelation, the best communication. From this double influence, from this exchange of thoughts and fluids, the whole is created, that is, the communication itself. To draw a line between the two, how far the man's and the spirit's extends is impossible, since the dual effect in the statement has become one. A whole book could be written about this, because here the interaction has 1,000 degrees and powers. The statements of Emmanuel, who fell in the Battle of Metz in 1871. In 1868, he spoke with an acquaintance of the medium, an officer in the German army. The conversation happened to take a serious turn. The officer questioned the medium about spiritualism and the immortality of the spirit. After the medium's convincing words, he promised to report to him in the event of his death. On the day of the Battle of Mars-la-Tour, the medium heard a soft knock on the table, and his spiritual leaders were asked to write that a great battle had just taken place in which one of his good acquaintances had fallen. The next day, the newspaper brought the news of the terrible Battle of Mars-la-Tour, and 4 days later, the medium learned that the officer's acquaintance had been killed in the battle. That same evening, the man spoke voluntarily in the following manner: I am Emmanuel, I fell in the Battle of Mars-la-Tour. Shortly after we had set out for a cavalry charge, a bullet hit me so that I was instantly killed. Before we rode out, I suspected my death. I thought of you and your last words. It is certain that we are immortal. After my physical death, my spirit, my consciousness, my life, however, hovered above the battle for a while. My blessed, dear mother was right next to me, welcoming me with love. You have no idea of the rush of spirits over the battlefield. There was a whole swarm of spirits here. The good and pure carried the spirits of the fallen, on with their breath soothed the pains of the wounded, and covered them in a soothing mist. Before this spirit, the term fluid was unknown. Medium's note, I saw those people who were to remain alive as if they were covered in a white protective cloak. Only those who believe in divine providence, who see law and not chance in everything, according to the words of Christ, every hair of your head is numbered, can understand this. The magic bullet in the witch hunter is not an empty metaphor. The poet drew this object not from the memory of his earthly life, but from a previous spiritual life, and not all from this, but from a lot of foreign spiritual inspiration. Medium's note. The look of the vengeful evil spirits is terrible and terrifying. They exhale a poisonous breath and destroy everything with it. These spirits pour out a dense black cloud. By this he means the electric disintegrating opposite fluid, which would indeed destroy everything if the magnetic fluids of good, lawful spirits did not effectively weaken it and thus paralyze me with their harmful influence. After my death I greeted all my comrades and acquaintances who had fallen with me, but soon our paths parted, for there are many paths in the universe. A spirit is attracted by what is like it, what is equal to it, and there it settles. By path he means fluidic currents. I kept my promise and signaled my separation from the body with a soft knock. Now I am happy to write through you. Yes, I am happy indeed. Do not think that I was merely idle on earth, my spirit longed for its true homeland within me. I speak to you with the permission of your spiritual protectors. It gives me a good feeling to be able to speak. Although I have only been separated from my body for a few days, my spirit has already experienced and seen great things. How short my last earthly life seems, a blink of an eye in eternity. I know my destiny, which calls me to live and work. I will fulfill God's will according to my strength. Here in the spirit world I can freely research and learn. After my death I tried to get away from the scene of the battle. In the throng one could feel a constant attraction and repulsion, but one also felt that all this was happening lawfully and not arbitrarily. I believe, based on my inner feeling, the reason for which I cannot yet explain, that all those who fell in battle would have died within 3 years at most, either from some other misfortune or from disease, even without war. Without war, the deaths of people do not seem so obvious, because they do not happen en masse, suddenly, but slowly over the years. My hour has struck. I feel that I would have died this year even without war, and the death of many of my acquaintances was likewise decreed. Instead of dying slowly, gradually, from all sorts of misfortunes, we were all slaughtered in 1 hour. This is my personal opinion. And now God be with you. For I see that you are tired. October 31, 1871. It is I again, Emmanuel. I am trying to communicate to you the impression that completely fills me, that delights me, and that moves me to infinite gratitude towards God. Since my last manifestation, I have had a great tour of the universe under the supervision of my spiritual friend and guide. I must learn, I must expand my concepts. For this, the means and the way are given to each according to his personality and qualities. Acceptance of it depends on everyone's liking. I did not want to stay there, like so many of my acquaintances, who are now also spirits, and to look with pity at others who still remained on earth, how they grieve that they can no longer take part in the Parisian uprising, saddened that the old man has nothing to send them, and that they should not taste either the fruits of France or the glory of other people. It is a sad thing that there are spirits who value earthly pleasures more than all spiritual pleasures. I did not make the aforementioned journey alone in the universe. The higher, purer spirits are often entrusted with a mission, which they must fulfill. With such higher mission spirits, the weaker ones go, and accompany them, under whom they are educated and learned. I am also in such a group of spirits. We must adapt to leadership, because the first law is obedience. Many do not obey, and fall behind in the march, or here and there, leaving the group, remain standing. The leading spirit is the starting point and center of the march, whom others follow, working together with him. Often a person is tempted to stop here or there, because someone is fascinated by this or that thing. Often, following the leading spirit requires going through eddies and darkness. The person is terrified, wanting to turn around to avoid this black cloud. But no, here too the point is to follow the leading spirit with faith and trust, because these difficulties are also included in the task of the leading spirit. How I move, what I look like, I cannot really tell you, because whatever I say, I fall back into human concepts and give a human form to my description, which distorts what I want to say. I am certainly not like the tall angels in picture books, with large wings, dark blue eyes, golden hair and long bodies, for that is a purely human representation. I feel like some thinking, transformed spirit and I see myself in a nebula, as a moving nebula. Here was page 158 in the Hungarian Online book. I see other spirits in 1,000 different nebulae, that is in terms of color, shade, light, and volume. The difference between spirits and men is that the former have a nebula, which is made of expandable and contractible materials, which the spirit moves, and the latter have this nebulous body, contracted, and enclosed in a rough shell with a sense organ, together with the spirit. I see many kinds of people on the different worlds that I touch. There are two things in the universe, and the spirit immediately realizes this after the body is cast off. It is so natural and inherent in the law of the spirit that it immediately realizes and applies them. These two things are attraction and repulsion, two temperatures, heat and cold, or light and darkness. The higher instinct of the spirit is able to use these two things. Just as you, as a man, walk upright on your feet, take food with your mouth by natural instinct, without having been previously taught, so you find here, as a spirit, movement, life, and breathing by the law of natural instinct. So I began a journey with a group of spirits, which I intend to complete lawfully with God's help. Today we have just arrived on Earth, which is on our way, which is why I have urged you to write to me today. Our journey began down from the sun, where there are millions of worlds. It was light yellow in the mists, spacious, light and of a pleasant temperature. I could move easily, I felt so happy and well. We passed by many worlds close to the sun. Our passage was fluid everywhere, both for us and for others. We brought balancing things with us, peace, calm, rain, clouds, rays of sunshine. We always moved down in a spiral. In the planetary circles we met a whole group of black spirits. They did not want to let us into their worlds, to prevent our guiding spirit from his mission, but we had to penetrate through. As a result of our penetration into the evil electricity, our mists shrank. We had to become smaller and heavier to combat them with similar weapons. The intake of these unpleasant fluids to subdue these rebels is hard work. It requires obedience to the laws, and faith and trust in the guiding spirit. Praising and worshipping God, we subdued the black spirit groups and converted many. They then followed us as reformed spirits. But unfortunately, some of us did not stand our ground, as they departed from the guiding law and acted arbitrarily. We also passed by Venus. The beauty of this planet is paradisiacal. The whole planet is, so to speak, a great paradise. Our spirit group descended there for a short time and influenced the teachers and women there to self-restraint. Each of us has been given his own little task, and in several places we have achieved good results, just as on the planet Mars, which is a rough world. Everything grows, multiplies, and dies so quickly there. There is much electricity in the air of this planet. Our nebulae we had to refill it with a strong attraction towards the sun, like locomotive. We are already on the old earth again, and I will visit my people and use the time to write to you. We should make peace on earth, because there would be enough of killing. But here is one spirit, like the other, black and shooting electricity. It is a real suffering to adjust our mists in such a way that we can act, but we will be brave, despite the fact that some of them are wavering and are violently and illegally incarnating on earth. Instead of these, we have saved other spirits who are following us. November 1, 1871. I have often wondered, since I myself am a spirit, how it is that people do not see spirits at all, because this is not contrary to the law, because many mediums see spirits, in a perfectly normal state, with their eyes open. Do you not see them yourself in a glass of water? This has not yet been investigated scientifically. They arrogantly and ignorantly say, if there were spirits, everyone could see them, not just a few chosen ones. Yes, because you have a sensual body and eyes, which are equipped for sensual vision. You see with them men, animals and plants, but the power that raises the waves of the sea and makes the hurricane roar, the power and the spirit are invisible to you, you only see its effects and from its effects you deduce the cause. I know for sure, and from everything I see I conclude that the time of the great battle of materialism against the spirit and its existence on earth is near. I also see that enlightened people will succeed in making it possible for all people to see spirits by means of chemical inventions. Human science has so far studied nothing in this regard, but spirits will appear to people if the necessary material conditions are met, if the relationship of the balancing substances between them and the human eye is balanced, as a result of which the spirit will become visible. It must be chemically invented which substances the human eye must look through in order to be able to contemplate its otherworldly brothers with complete calm and certainty. Just as astronomers use telescopes for their studies, so will people use chemical compounds for insight from the sensual to the spiritual. Between men and spirits, a strong bridge must be built from existing matter to the still unknown. I could appear to you as a nebula if the conditions were right on the human side. And if you wished, because I know the material compositions that would make me visible to you. Just as you see the images in a glass of water that your spiritual environment creates, calmly and without any worries, so you could see me. A contrary, unbelieving person would not see anything in a glass of water, because by his repulsive force, unbelief, contrary will, repulsive forces, he would break up and make impossible all assimilation of matter. November 2, 1871. I have been reflecting a little on the relations of the earth to the spiritual world, as this is of great interest to me at the moment. Now, as a spirit, I am on the same earth with the working spirit group, where I was a visible spirit until recently. None of my earthly relatives and acquaintances sees or hears me now. Of all my many acquaintances, you alone communicate with me and know how I am doing. Know that the complete impossibility of communicating with people drives many spirits to despair. Much suffering lies in the fact that people have completely cut off actual communication. Many have parted from bodies whose conscience is burdened by a depressing secret that they would like to get rid of, or have a kind word, admonition, on wish for those left behind. But people do not want to hear anything about the deceased, whom they loved so much and with whom they were so happy to talk. They are already dead. They must not be spoken to, they must not be disturbed, they say, and then they soon forget and thus cut off, completely interrupt all communication with those who are so dear to them. What a great relief for both of them if they can communicate with each other, and what a profound lesson lies in it for people if they can manage this communication. But what a danger if they do not understand it and use it for a vain purpose. And what happiness for those spirits who can also benefit from intelligent communication. I shudder to see how little a belief in spiritual survival is spread on earth. It is very strange to me that on such a well-known earth, in places that were once so homely, I now wander alone, invisible, as a spirit. How quickly I can get from one place to another, and how strong I feel without a body of flesh. How strange it is to see everyone, to read their thoughts, and to know that they neither see nor hear.